Have you ever worked with clay or watched a potter knead the clay before creating a piece and placing the green clay into a kiln to dry? Every now and then, a piece of clay explodes while being fired, coating the kiln, any curing pottery inside. The explosion is caused by air bubbles left inside the green clay, air which had not been removed in the kneading process before the piece was placed in the kiln. If we, the objects molded by our beloved Abba, our potter, have unresolved sin, including pride, within us, then what seemed like such a small issue at the time will, during a period of trial, expand under heat and pressure and cause havoc, taking our lives into dark and lonely places. Hedi Vavhe wants us to understand that we have a relationship with how he deals with us through his blessings and also through trials and tests. Abba Father, we just pray that this message will bring clearly to us the understanding of the lessons you have for us, that we need to deal with these issues when we are aware of them and not let them fester. Father, we just pray that your Spirit will bring us illumination and insight into this situation. Take a moment to consider this question. Are you aware of all your flaws, large and small? No rush, take your time. Most of us think we have a handle on the issues which we might describe as flaws or sin. But only by deep and critical reflection can we truly identify those dark spots within our fallen human state, which will have an impact on our souls. Often we're taken by surprise by a thought or an action which goes completely against what we say we believe. Unfortunately, we human beings have a tendency to shift the blame onto others when we do something wrong. We just read a little of that. It started with Adam and then Eve, everybody shifting the blame somewhere else. That, of course, only drives the sin within us deeper, and it becomes more entrenched. But the Ruach HaKodesh will always make us aware of those sins within us when Adonai wishes to prepare us for a task or a direction he has in mind. When the Spirit convicts us, we need to welcome the opportunity to deal with the sin right away, rather than allow it to hide deep inside us, to grow larger, and to become destructive when Adonai's testing time begins. Psalm 81 speaks to this very issue. David the psalmist writes, "But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to live by their own plans." That's Psalm 81, verses 11 and 12. Notice how Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh deals with the lack of desire to do the right thing among his people. I can just hear him saying to those who tried to live by their own plans for a few years, "How's that working out for you?" In Psalm 51, King David confesses his sins, first those against Adonai, and then those against man. And he repents. Listen to his plaintive cry. "God, in your grace, have mercy on me. In your great compassion, blot out my crime. Wash me completely from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my crimes. My sin confronts me all the time." Psalm 51, 1-3. Even though David was a murderer and an adulterer, he remained Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh's friend. Why? Because he repented of his sins as soon as he became aware of them. And he did not let them linger within his soul to grow and to contaminate his entire being. Then willingly, if painfully, he accepted the consequences of his sin when those arrived, realizing he deserved them. Right, now to address the question, maybe hovering in the background since I started this message, how can we have a relationship with this abstract concept of Adonai dealing with us? Relationships are with people, or even sometimes with material objects like our cars, our boats, our houses, aren't they? Listen to what the Apostle Yaakov says about this. When in James 1, he writes, "Regard it all as joy, my brothers, when you face various kinds of temptations. For you know that the testing of your trust produces perseverance. But let perseverance do its complete work, so that you may be complete and whole, lacking in nothing." In this passage, James responding with joy to the tests and trials placed our way, whether by Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh or by the adversary. He knows we will develop perseverance through the trials we face. That's a quality sadly lacking in the characters of many men and women today. Clearly, we have a choice as to how we respond in the face of adversity. We can cry and whine, blaming others for our misfortune, driving the sin even deeper, or we can regard our trials as opportunities for growth of our characters, moving us closer to Him and readying us for a new task or a new direction. Obviously, the way that we respond to tests and trials signal to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh our degree of readiness for greater challenges and ministerial responsibilities. In Romans 8, Rav Shaul clarifies for us the purpose of both the good and the bad which enters our lives. Romans 8:28, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called in accordance with His purpose." My question to you is this: how do you wish to be viewed by the Creator of the universe and the lover of our souls? As the wise servant in Matthew 21, of whom it is written, "You have been faithful with a small amount, so I will put you in charge of a large amount. Come and join in your master's happiness." Or, as the foolish servant described this way, "You wicked, lazy servant," said his master, "so you knew, did you, that I harvest where I haven't planted, and that I gathered where I didn't sow seed?" And then comes Adonai Yeshua's teaching, Matthew 25, verse 29. "For everyone who has something will be given more, so that he will have more than enough. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away." I really can't think of anyone here who would prefer to be addressed by Adonai Yeshua as, "You wicked, lazy servant." But I don't believe that's something we choose. Rather, it's a state we accept by default when we lack commitment, understanding, and confidence. Three essential qualities demanded of us by Adonai Elohim if we are to follow His narrow path. For those of us who lack one or more of these qualities, how do we make sure that we don't fall into the trap of fearing His trials and tests? A man reportedly burned his house to the ground recently by accident while trying to kill a spider with a cigarette lighter and a can of spray paint. The man apparently told police that the spider had been lurking in the laundry and that he had accidentally lit the wall on fire with his makeshift flamethrower. It seems things like this happen more often than you might think. Just a few weeks earlier, there were reports that a woman had set her laundry on fire after seeing a spider crawl into a pile of towels. The fire quickly got out of hand, and her home went up in flames. She's been charged with aggravated arson. Fear has the potential to promote strange behaviors. And fear is a tactic of the adversary, as we have discussed previously. The key element in overcoming fear is trust. I don't want to shift this message to one on developing trust, but the need to understand how important trust is in our relationship with Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh cannot be overstated. In any relationship, trust is essential. I cannot truly and deeply love my wife as much as I do without trusting her implicitly. If I have embedded issues dealing with trust, these will prevent me from trusting anyone, including the Creator of the universe and the lover of our souls. Here is Ruach HaKodesh comes into the picture. Only through the guidance of the Holy Spirit will the lie which has been placed into our subconscious minds by the enemy be erased and replaced by Adonai's truth. The following procedure, which you've heard before, is worth repeating. replace Satan's lies with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh's truth. First of all, spend some time in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to be with you as your guide. Then, ask the Holy Spirit to show you a memory that contains the lie of fear. Next, pray to Adonai Yeshua to enter that memory, sweep out the lie, and replace it with his truth. This is precisely where trust becomes essential. If you do not really trust Adonai Yeshua to do this, he won't. You must firmly believe in your heart he has the power and the desire to rid you of the lie and to heal you of its rotten impact upon you. And then continue. Look around through other memories and ask the Holy Spirit to show you other lies of fear. Go through step three, praying for Yeshua to replace the lies with his truth, as many times as the Holy Spirit uncovers embedded lies. To test whether the lie is gone, go back to the original memory and be aware of the emotions you are feeling. If there is still fear there, try the process again after you have asked the Holy Spirit to help you develop deeper trust. And Michael invites you to come and see him if you have questions or concerns about this process. You remember if you were here last week, he outlined this at that time. Let's go back to Romans 8. Rav Shaul writes, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good." Do we really trust this to be accurate? Do we really believe this is truth? If we have doubts and we're not confident in his word, then we run the risk of turning to our own devices, our own plans, our own expectations. And we know what happens when we go there. And then we read, "To those who love God." I can't emphasize enough the importance of that phrase. All too often, we view Adonai through lenses of self-centeredness and self-seeking attention. Those orientations will kill any relationship, let alone our love relationship that Adonai Elohim wants to have with us. Are we willing to release our own desires, our own wills, and assume his? Are we truly ready to engage in emunah, trust in action? If so, then we are signaling to him our desire to enter trials and tests with full confidence in his willingness to draw us closer to him with loving kindness and with the knowledge that these trials will help us develop deeper and broader spiritual maturity. The final passage in this verse, "called in accordance with his purpose," is also crucial to our understanding. Here we are witnesses to the invitation Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh has extended to us to join his will, his purpose for our lives. That's true surrender, probably the most difficult act for us, since it means giving up the false sense of ownership the adversary has embedded within us and which has been drummed into us by the secular world since we were children. Police say a man who claims to have split personalities confessed to robbing a restaurant after reading about it in the newspaper and realizing he was the person who had done it. The 23-year-old who was jailed after surrendering to police claimed he hadn't been feeling well and, as he put it, did something stupid. We Messianic believers have two personalities living within us, too. We have our old natures, which act against Adonai's desires for us. Rav Shaul warns us in Romans 6, "Therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal bodies so that it makes you obey its desires, and do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument for wickedness." And then we have our new natures, birthed within us when we consciously turned our backs on our sinful ways and turned to him. Again, Romans 6, "Offer yourselves to God as people alive from the dead, and your various parts to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will not have authority over you, because you are not under legalism, but under grace." Notice in his invitation, "called in accordance with his purpose," the word purpose is singular. There is only one purpose for us, in our relationship with him. And that is to conform to the image of Adonai Yeshua. Over time, through conscious and deliberate efforts, and through the guidance and direction of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the living God, through trials and tests, we change into the likeness of our beloved Messiah. If we seek only our own purposes and rely on our own plans, we will become disheartened, perhaps even blaming Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh for our own errors, and will be drawn away from his love. But when we fully embrace Adonai's purpose, we will experience fulfillment every step along the way, knowing we are immersed in his love constantly. A further understanding which must be developed if we are to be fully within his plan for us is the good. We generally perceive the good as being what the world understands as good, having a successful career, having more money than we need, having enough toys to amuse us, and receiving prestige and honor from people. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh's meaning for good is for us to be molded and formed into the unchangeable likeness of Adonai Yeshua. The term unchangeable brings to mind the scientific word immutable. It's a concept which speaks of not being capable of or susceptible to change. What a strong image. Clearly, as we change from our worldly image of good to the divine image of which Adonai Yeshua is the prototype, we become increasingly invulnerable to the assaults of the adversary. We are being made immutable. It becomes eventually impossible for the enemy to even tempt us into sin. But this is something we cannot accomplish on our own. Once more, Rav Shaul has some comforting and reassuring words for us, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. May the God of Shalom make you completely holy. May your entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless for the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. The one calling you is faithful, and he will do it. A while back, Michael shared an image of a crane operator who claimed he was doing heavy lifting. Just imagine, as we obey his mitzvot, his life instructions, that his purpose for our lives is being played out before our eyes. He is doing the heavy lifting, not us. Yes, we're going through trials and tests, which bring us closer to his image. But the changes occurring within us are his responses to our faithfulness. Do we slip backwards? Of course we do. Our human nature resists letting go and surrendering our will to his will. However, we know that as we commit ourselves to this process, he will be faithful to accomplish what he has declared he will accomplish within us. The key here is our desire to trust Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh to do as he has promised and to cling to that promise. If you have not committed yourself to his direction, please carefully consider the consequences of going your own way. Which would you rather have? The fulfilled promise of being transformed into his image, or being pulled into the increasingly downward spiral of doubt and confusion, being trapped within the claws of the adversary? Remember, there is no middle ground. There's no fence sitting. We have to pick a side. Which side do you choose? Abba, we ask that you give us understanding so that we accept his purpose for our lives. We pray for the good sense to choose to rely on Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh's faithful promises to us. Abba, teach us to trust in your desire to have an eternal friendship with us. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.